Amen.
Amen.
Church, say amen again.
Amen.
You all doing all right this morning?
Amen.
It's good to see you all, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Because the week can get long. And sometimes you just want to get back with the team. You want to get back into the huddle. Try to make it through the next week. So I'm glad to be here this week because I'm glad to get back to the huddle. I'm glad to hear the next play. And I'm glad to get strength from the people that I'm with. Hopefully to be able to go on into another week. Amen. Y'all ever have to go through some stuff? And when you go through some things, man, the one thing that you need is somebody that feels or has a like mind to encourage you. That's the reason why you have huddles. You realize that, don't you? See, you huddle up and then you run a play. And then afterwards, you huddle back up together. Now, two things happen in the huddle. One, you're going to learn the next play. The second thing is you back together again. You make adjustments. You're with one another. You're in a circle. And everything that goes on outside the huddle at that moment of time just don't matter. So I'm glad to be back into the huddle. And I'm glad that all of you are here. And I pray the things that we study today will be something that you can use to grow, something you can use to overcome, something you can use to better yourself and be able to walk through this life not without trial and tribulation, but with the confidence that sure enough you're going to overcome. I see a lot of people in this audience today. A lot of folks, and I know many of you came to support David and during his time of grief. I see a lot of people I went to high school with and everything. Messed me up. I said, man, y'all should have told me y'all was coming or something. I might have prepared a different sermon. No, I'm just kidding. But I messed me up. I see people that I grew up looking up to. I see the Grounds family. A few months ago, I preached a sermon called Who You With. Y'all remember that? Remember I gave you an analogy of going into a place and having a big fella here with me, and when they tried to mess with me, I pointed to him, said I was with him. That was Reggie in trouble. Y'all got a chance to meet them. Who are you with? Yeah. But I'm glad to see all of you here, and I know that your week has not been perfect, but I know you came here for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to hear a word from the Lord and to be encouraged so that you can walk with him in peace. Now, I'm going to tell y'all a secret that won't be a secret after I tell y'all now. When I woke up this morning, this wasn't a sermon I was going to preach. As a matter of fact, I had two sermons that I was going back and forth with, and this is the third one, and neither one of them. And the reason why is because, we have been doing our study on the Beatitudes, and I wanted to discuss a little bit more about the Beatitudes, but it just wasn't sitting right with me. And then I had a sermon that goes along with the starting of the beginning of the year from Deuteronomy's, the first chapter, and that wasn't sitting with me either. And I was talking to my wife this morning because she's the final edit of every sermon that I have. So if I have mistakes on my PowerPoint, it's her fault. It's her fault. It's not me, because I let her see it last. But I was talking to my wife this morning, and she said, well, why are the sermons not connecting with you? And she said, did you prepare? I said, yeah, I'm prepared to teach either one of them. She said, well, what is it? I said, I just don't think it's what the people need today. My cousin, who's also a minister, said, Darwin, you'll never run out of things to say to the people. You need to keep your Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what he pretty much is saying is that you need to know what's going on, and what's going on will impact what you share.
Okay.
Well, this is what I know. I know that the Heart Street Church of Christ today comes with some heavy hearts. I know that the Heart Street Church of Christ has some battles, some challenges that we will have to overcome. So the Beatitudes is a good sermon. I'm going to preach it, I promise. But today I want to encourage you to be able to overcome. Overcome all the things that you face in life. Overcome those things that keep you up at night. Overcome those things that stress you out. Overcome those things that bring tears to your eyes. We sometimes just need to be encouraged to overcome. And I don't know any passage of scripture that'll tell you how to overcome or how to beat those big things that you face other than 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Verse 4, I'll read there. It says, and a champion named Goliath from Gath came out of the Philistine camp. He was more than 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore bronze scales armor weighing 125 pounds. He had bronze plates on his shin and a bronze scimitar hung on his back. His spear shaft was as strong as the bar on a weaver's loom, and his iron head weighed 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked in front of him. He stopped and shouted to the Israelites' troops, why have you come and taken up battle formations? I am the Philistine champion, and you are Saul's servant. Isn't that right? Select one of your men and let them come down against me before I even move forward. First of all, this is a point right here in verse 8. Don't ever let the enemy tell you how to fight. I don't know what they was thinking. But they came in formation and saw Goliath, and he told them to get out of formation. And for some reason, they went back. I don't know why, but just, that's just a point. That ain't in the sermon, but that's a point. Don't you ever let the enemy tell you what weapon to use. Verse 9, it says, if he's able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your slaves. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you will become our slaves and you will serve us. I insult in Israel troops today. The Philistine continued, give me an opponent and we'll fight. When Saul and Israel heard what the Philistines said, they were distressed and terrified. We're going to walk through this whole passage of scripture. But from this passage of scripture, I want to give you, offer you up the title. This is how we're going to whoop Goliath. This is how we're going to whoop Goliath. Now, there are things in your life that cause you pain. There are problems that you face that seem a little too big to overcome. And just like those problems, just like Goliath, those problems intimidate you. See, the problem with the Philistines, the Israelites, was not just that they had to fight a war. The problem was that Goliath was 9 feet tall. And he had armor on that probably weighed more than some of the men themselves. And so the problems sometimes are extremely large, and they will intimidate you. And if you're not careful, you'll give up before you even get into the fight because the problem is so big. It looks so big. Anybody ever did that? It's like sometimes, like when I see my student loan, I'm just going to help y'all. When I see that student loan, that joke after I graduated with the last degree and that loan paper came in, I looked. And then I tried to squint and look again to see if it was that many zeros. I almost didn't even want to start paying because it looked that big. I said, ain't no way in the world I'm going to ever pay this. I got an even bigger bill, that house note. Anybody ever sign for a house? You know they give you about 70 pieces of paper and you feel like you just signed your life away and you look at what your house cost and then they add interest in 30 or 15 years and then you look at what you're going to pay and you say, man, I don't even know if I want this house anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have things that walk in front of you, that confront you, and they are so big, they look so intimidating, you don't even want to be bothered. And see, that's what it was. That was what was taking place with the Philistines. And see, these problems, y'all, these problems, I use loans, and all these problems come in a number of different areas. They could be marital problems. It could be, you know, something going on in your house and it just seemed like too much for you to overcome, so you're thinking about giving up. It could be job problems. It could be sickness. You got a diagnosis and that diagnosis looks so grim, you just said, Lord, that's enough. I'm through. It could be a number of different things. It could be grief. It could be the loss of someone that you love deeply. It hurts you so bad that you just don't know how you're going to overcome. You know, the problems can be a number. It could be your sin. You could be struggling with something and have been struggling for something for a long period of time, and you are just at the point where you said, I'm going to give in to this. I ain't going to even try to get up no more. I'm going to keep fooling with this woman. I'm going to keep drinking this drink. I'm going to keep smoking this stuff. I'm going to keep being, whatever it is, you just want to give up. That happens, right? We have those kind of problems. Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to pause for about 20 seconds. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a minute, and I want you to reflect on what your Goliath is. That's what I want you to do now. And whatever your Goliath is, now, I don't want you to say it's alcoholism. I want you to call it Goliath alcohol. I don't want you to say it's drug abuse. I want you to call it Goliath drug abuse. And the reason why I want you to call it Goliath is because we know the end of the story, and we know that Goliath is going to get whooped. So sometimes when you give your problem a different name, it encourages you to go ahead and fight. So I'm okay with calling my problem Goliath, because I believe, I know the same God that David God knows, and I know that Goliath at the end of this story is going to lose. So there go your 15 seconds. Take it now. Write it down, put it in the text, send an email. I don't care. Make sure you know what it is. Everybody got it? Good. It didn't even take you 15 seconds, did it? You didn't even need one. Yeah, as soon as you said Goliath, you say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I got it. I know exactly what I'm struggling with. But the idea is that we face some things that make it hard for us to overcome. And if we're not careful, we'll look at the circumstance and the situation, and we'll want to give up. The Bible says in verse 11 that when Saul and his men heard this, they were distressed. And the reason why they were distressed is because they looked at the problem. They said, ain't no way in the world we gonna whoop Goliath. So what we thinking about is we about to be slaves to somebody. That's what it was. That's what it was. So a Goliath problem can mess you up. But then comes this little fella. This man named David. And David wasn't even a warrior. David was a shepherd. And David was only going to the battlefield to feed his brothers. And David in verse 26, somebody get to about verse 26, he goes to feed the brothers. And when he goes to feed the brothers, he's sitting there, he hear them. And verse 26, David says, ask the soldiers, the soldier standing by him, what will be done for the person who kills that Philistine over there and removes the insult from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Anyway, that he can get away with insulting the army of the living God. Now David comes, and then let's go, matter of fact, go down to 36 too. 36 also. In verse 36, he says, your servant has fought both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them because he has insulted the army of the living God. Now, there is something in Bible study that's called hermeneutics. And it's pretty much just to observe the scripture. But anyway, when you study the Bible and you see something happening multiple times, it's a clue. Right, it's something when you see things being said multiple times, it's a point of emphasis that you probably should pay attention to that point, right? So, for example, you might hear Jesus say, "Verily, verily," y'all see what I'm saying? He said it twice. Now, the reason why he said it twice is what he's saying to you is that I need you to really listen. David, in verse 26 and verse 36, says something that if you're not careful, you will overlook. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I was sitting there, and I read that, and I said, what is David getting at? Why does he keep saying this uncircumcised Philistine? And I just say this, I mean, he said it twice, and then he the next thing he says is that insults the army of God. But I said, what does he mean by this uncircumcised Philistine? So I had to go back and I had to figure out, what does circumcision mean? Circumcision for the Jewish boy was a cutting away, right? And it was evidence, or it was evidence of being in a covenant with God. Y'all got to see this. This is good. If you stick with me, you'll get it. David is saying that the circumcision was a sign or evidence that you were a child of God, because the Jews were the only people that were circumcised. And this was something they did to be obedient of God, but it was one of the many things that they did that were signs of a covenant or a divinely ordained bond with God. So when David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's not really caring about physical anatomy of Goliath. What he's saying is, who is this man who is outside the covenant of God that is talking this noise? Well, why in the world would David bring up the circumcision? Because what he's actually doing is he's activating the power that everybody else fails and overlooked. See, when he says uncircumcised, he's reminding everybody else that I am circumcised. Well, when he reminds everybody else that I am circumcised, what he's really reminding them is that I have a covenant. Right? I have a divinely connection. I have a bond with God, and this covenant, God promises to take care of me. Y'all got it? Every Christian has a covenant. Every Christian has a relationship with God that confirms and that says that regardless of what you go through, God will take care of you. This is going to whoop Goliath. Watch it now. But let me tell you, the problem is, Eric, get that thing for me. The problem is this. The problem is this. Many of us are in the covenant, but we're not under the covenant. What you mean, Darwin? Here it comes. Watch it. Many of us, let's just use this. Let's just use this as an umbrella. This is an umbrella. Everybody knows an umbrella? It's a green umbrella. You got it? Okay. So let's just use this. A covenant is another relationship. One of the benefits of a covenant is a covering. Y'all follow me? Watch this. Many of us, and what are we talking about? We're talking about how we're going to whoop Goliath. Y'all right? Don't lose the point. Many of us are in a covenant. We have a covenant. Y'all follow me? We are members of the body of Christ. We have decided that we want to follow the rule book that Jesus has put in place. Y'all following that? But we walk around like this. Eric, you got some water? Here we go. Eric, call and move the mic, because I want you to electrocute me. Eric ain't never had that much knowledge.
I'm
the Israelites were worried. David wasn't worried. And the reason why David wasn't worried is because he never walked up to Goliath trying to fight Goliath. He walked up to Goliath from the very beginning and said, "Who is this uncircumcised man that's talking all of this noise here? Who is this man who is not in a relationship with God that insults God?" He never didn't say the insult. He didn't say the insults the army of Saul. He said, "Who is this man that insults the army of God?" You want to learn how to whoop Goliath? Get the right instrument. Get the right weapon. What weapon you talking about? God. God is the one who's going to fight it for you. Hold on, let's go back to the text. That ain't all of it. I could extend the invitation, couldn't I? Y'all ready to go? Nope. Here we go. All right, so the very first point is identify that you are under the covenant. And tap in to the right source. But not only do you have to identify that you're under the right covenant, you have to make sure that you are aligned so that you are not just in the covenant, you're under the covenant, meaning that you have a covering. Because you can actually say that I am a child of God, but not do what God says to do. You can actually give a lot of lip service about all the things that you are and not actually live that way. And you can be walking around Bible-toting, talking about Jesus, and getting whooped all at the same time. And the reason why is because you didn't align yourself. Kelly, you might remember this. About a few years back, our garage door was acting funny. And I was trying to figure out, we pressing this button and the garage door wasn't acting right. And I was mad. I'm like, "Man, I'm for real. I'm finna kick this door down." I was so upset. So then I went outside to the front of the house, and this was our other house, and I clicked it and I tried to lift it. But it still won't come over, right? Some of y'all said, because you're weak, but whatever. Your daddy weak. No, I'm just kidding. All right, it wasn't working. So there was a number that is on our garage door opener. Watch this. So I called the number. When I called the number, I said, "Hey, man, this is a new house." I said, "Hey, man, this garage door not open." And he said, "Okay." I said, "You guys need to come and fix it." And he said, "Okay, but before we come, I need you to do a couple things for me." I said, "Okay." He said, "Go to the front of the garage door." I said, "Okay." He said, "Look to the right." I said, "Yeah." He said, "What is the little camera thing doing?" I said, "It's facing the other side." He said, "Okay, good." He said, "Now go to the other side." I went over there. He said, "Look. Yeah, what is that camera thing doing?" I said, "It's facing up." He said, "Okay. I need you to turn." I'm good, man. I'm sweating anyway. Thank you. He said, "I need you to turn the garage door opener on the left to face the garage door opener on the right, and then go press the button again." So I did it. I said, "Whoop, whoop." I went, pressed the thing, and the garage door came up. Why you bring up this point? I'm still talking about when you got the covenant by under. Sometimes we have the power, but we don't align ourselves with God. So we're doing everything that we can to try to access power, and it's not a power problem, it's an alignment problem. You missing it? Sometimes you are just walking around in circles, doing everything that you can, trying to figure out how to get over, and you feel like God has given up on you, and he has not given up on you at all. You just got to align yourself with his power, and then it'll work. All right, that go back to the text. Here we go. So it says, if you keep on going in this thing, we find out that you got to, one, identify that you're a child of God. Secondly, you got to align yourself with his will. Because just talking about God and not really doing what God asks you to do, that ain't nothing. And there's too many of us to do that. That's the reason why nobody don't believe you when you go to work. You know, you go to work, you start talking to everybody like, I believe him. Because you're talking one thing and doing something totally different. It's the same reason why your kids don't want to follow you. You know, like when you get up to say a prayer, like when a man get up to say a prayer, and when he start praying, his kids start turning the other way. You know what that is? That's an alignment problem. That means you talking a lot of stuff, but you ain't doing nothing. I'm just saying, some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, but you know I'm telling the truth. All right. And okay, so then he says, so then David says to him, he says in verse 34, where is it at? Oh, okay, no. Go back. I lost my verse. Now, David says that in verse 34, yeah, he says, your servant has kept his father's sheep. And then David replied to Saul and said, if ever a lion or a bear came down and carried off the flock, I would go, a better interpretation is, run after it, strike it, and rescue it from the mouth of God. If it turned on me, I will grab it, and it at its jaw, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has fought both lions and bears. This who uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, because he has assaulted the army of God. Watch this. Once you identify who the power source is, then you align yourself with the power source. The next thing is you got to run to it. Y'all missed it. Sometimes we got things going on. We identify. We know that God is our power. But then we just stand there. Every time, or a lot of times, I don't want to say every because it's a final word. A lot of times in the Bible, what you will see is God will activate his power. But he only activates his power after you move. God will help you. But what you got to do after you align yourself is start walking in faith. That's the reason why he told Moses. He said, y'all go out there and fight. And when you start fighting, hold up the staff. You hear me? Now, what would have happened if Moses had went to the top of the mountain and just held the staff? Nothing. Because that wasn't the instructions. The instruction was, go fight. And then same reason why he said, dip yourself in the Jordan River. Well, he said, go dip. And then come back. Y'all follow me? A lot of times what happens to us when we face these things that we're going through is that we understand God has power. We understand that he will give us power. But then we stand still. And there is a time and place to stand still. I don't want you to think I'm saying you always got to be doing. No, but there's also a time and place where you need to go. Fight Goliath. How do I know that that was important? Because the Bible says a little bit further down, the Bible says, then the Philistine army approached him and David ran towards Goliath. See, so David could have sat back in the camp and said, who was this? You know how we do. Who was this uncircumcised man talking all that noise? If I was you, I'd rough him up. If I was you, I'd handle that. Yeah, go get him. God got all the power. Go do it. You follow me? That's not enough. What you have to do is identify, align, and then move. Move towards whatever it is that is working against you. What do you mean, Dr. Mason? What do you mean, Darwin? I mean, move towards, if you're struggling with depression, go get some help. I said this one time, I'll say it again. It's okay to have Jesus and a therapist. If you're struggling with depression, go get some help. Ask the church to help you. Don't just sit back and say, I'm going to get it fixed. No. If you having some financial troubles, get a job. This ain't rocket science. Well, I got one. Get another. Can't nobody survive in 2019 with just one job. You better have a second hustle. Why y'all think I'm preaching? No, I'm scared. Comic relief, comic relief. The idea is if you are struggling with something, you can't just say God will fix it. God will fix it when you act on his promise. Don't you realize the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years? And the ones that wanted didn't even get a chance to go in. Why? Because they didn't have enough faith to just go. What do you mean? They went and spied. Looked at the problem. Said it was too much. Pretty much said God can't do it. And then turned back around and came back and said, nah, we can't do this. If you want to tackle and whoop Goliath, go. Yes. Go. David's going to deal with some struggles, losing his mother. But the best thing that he can do, the best thing that we can do, is he stay around us. Yes. Don't isolate yourself.
That's right.
Go where the help is.
That's right.
I don't know exactly what you're going to need. I've never been there. But I know whatever you need to trust God and start walking towards him.
Yes, Lord.
Come on.
Yes, Lord.
I'm just telling you, the holiday season is rough for me.
Yes.
Always is. And it's not just because it's rough. One, I'm excited. My kids have turned around holidays for me because they got a whole bunch of joy in them. And it's hard to just be down. But see, let me tell you, the holiday season is rough for me because I lost all of my grandparents. Or three of the four of my grandparents in December and January. So while Christmas is a happy time, it's also a rough time. And my wife had to help me because she would be so happy around Christmas. Every year she would say, you just spoiling the mood. You just spoiling the mood. And it's because I was still reflecting on some stuff that brought me down. Then I had to start to get some help. I said, well, you know, when I started getting over it, I started telling her what I was going through. I said, see, this is the reason why I'm sad. It's the reason why New Year's don't do much for me. Because when I was 16, when I was 14, on New Year's Day, we ran up on my grandmama's accident. So while everybody talking about a new year, that was a rough year for us. 2 years later, my other grandmama had cancer, passed away in January. Come on, y'all, I'm just trying to tell you. It's some rough stuff we're going to go through. But if this is how we're going to whoop to Goliath, we're going to find out that God is the source of our energy. We're going to allow align ourselves, and then we're going to walk towards him. You can't do it by yourself. You got to get some help. And I know. The sad part is that the church, we don't do as good a job as we can help it. But we're going to have to get better. Because sometimes when we come to help, we like the people in John 9 when you find a blind boy. As soon as he get help, they say, which one sinned, him or his mama? We still got that attitude. This ain't in the sermon, but since we all here and we all in the huddle, I might as well tell you the truth. Church, we got to do better. Stop trying to figure out why somebody going through something and just help them. Stop trying to hold your forgiveness until next week. Yeah? How long you want God to hold forgiveness from you? We got to do better. Because some of the reasons why people don't want to ask for help because they don't want to know what you're going to say. We got to do better. And then the last thing, I'm going. The last thing, he walks in. And when he walks up to Goliath, Goliath starts to insult him. He said, look at you. You done came over here with this little slingshot. Look at you. You done walked up in this mug with a slingshot. And you think you just going to whoop me? And then David responds, and this is important. He said, you come with spears and swords, all that other foolishness. I come in the name of God of hosts. The reason why I love that is because there's about 85 names of God in the Bible. And each name gives you a characteristic. So you can call on the right name when you need it. Right? So when he says the God of hosts, that's better interpreted as I come in the name of the God of armies. See, he didn't call on Yahweh God. He called on warrior God. He said, now I come up in this joker and I brought my brother with me. I brought my daddy and he is mean. He about to get you, buddy. I didn't come with Jehovah Rapha. I came with the God of hope. Once you walk, face Goliath, walk up to that joker and tell him, here I am and I brought God with me. Let's play. And guess what'll happen? You'll cut some heads off too. The children of Israel were never in danger. You know why? Because God had already decided that Jesus was coming through there. They thought they were in danger because they forgot about the covenant. They forgot about the promise. What are you saying, Brother Mason? I'm saying whatever you're going through, you coming through. You ain't in danger. Just remember who God is. He got a promise on your life. Yeah. He got a promise on your life. God said everything I do, everything is going to work out to your good. God said I'm going to use your enemy as your footstool. Oh, God said I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am you might be. Will y'all hear me? God is saying that it ain't, don't you worry about this. If you got to grieve, grieve. If you got to go through, go through. But go through with the attitude that I'm coming through. Not because I got all the power in the world. Not because I'm the best thing ever. Matter of fact, I ain't worth two nickels rubbed together. I'm coming through because God has a promise on my life. I'm under the covenant. I'm coming through victorious. Somebody, I want to tell you, don't let anything get you down so far that you forget that God's in control. The devil is good at that now. He's the master of deception. He'll make you believe some stuff that ain't true. He'll take some of the things you go through and turn it into something totally different. You got to be careful. Yeah, you'll be grieving, struggling with something, and the devil will take your grief, and you think you're getting through it. You said, Brother Mason, tell me, I need to get some help. And then all of a sudden, cute girl come trying to help you. Watch it. Okay, all right. Y'all trying to mess up. You done messed up your marriage because you was grieving. Don't let the devil mess you up. Stay in his will. Keep walking towards him. You might slip. Get back up. Keep on moving. You underneath a covering. God said he's going to do it. I believe it. Go ahead and stand to your feet. This is how he did it. My favorite part of every sermon. This is how he did it. He sent his son. And he sent his son down here. And what he did was, he guaranteed a win. He guaranteed a win. I love it. What he did was, God sent Jesus Christ. He sent God on earth. And he brought down a perfect man down so that there's nothing in the world that anybody can use against you. And the reason why they can't use it against you is because Jesus already paid it all. See, so you got this wonderful advantage of being able to overcome, not because you're powerful, but because Jesus overcame. And see, what he did, this is how he overcame. He came, he lived a perfect life. After he lived his perfect life, he taught all through in his life, telling people how to live, how to grow, how to love God. But they still didn't like him, so they crucified him. And when they crucified him, they did him bad, y'all. They did him bad. I mean, we ain't never seen nothing quite like this. They did him bad, bad. And he died. But that ain't the end of the story. He got up. And when he got up with everything he needed to make sure you was going to be all right. Now, I want you to hear that again. He got up with everything he needed to make sure you was going to be all right. Why you bring that up again, dog? Because he was already all right. He didn't do this for him. He did it for you. And now you can go through some stuff and come out with your head high. Now you can experience pain and come out with your head high. You can experience grief. You can experience loss. You can experience financial debt. You can do all of those things. You can spiritual lows, and you can come out with your head high, not because of who you are, but because of what he did. So when we ask you to come down, don't you come down to me. Come down to him. Come down to the man who did this. Come down to the Savior who changed your life. And then ask him to help you. Ask him to walk you through. Ask him to hold your hand. Ask him to do more. Ask him to carry you. Ask God to do whatever it is that you need. And I guarantee you, he'll do it. Amen. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess, and then be baptized. And when you rise up a new Christian, new creature, someone who's connected like never before. You can do that right now. All.